Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Friday, September the 13th. Full moon, September the 13th. I hope you've said a little quick prayer for all of the teachers out there because that full moon thing is really true. So, hope everyone has a really good day today. But we're going to find out what's going on in the area. We're going to be down in temperature from 81 to not as warm 80, and 55 is the low, which has been very nice in the evenings. And let's see, we have here an internationally recognized artist, Woon-Suk Kim, who was a graduate of Illinois State, is seen on the front page as she's talking about what ISU meant to her after she and her husband, Thomas Clement, had gifted the university a $12 million during a Thursday ceremony at ISU for the Center for the Performing Arts, and it's renaming the College and Schools of the Arts in her name. So what a generous gift. And here's the article. Couple's $12 million gift to ISU, the largest in the school's history. The Illinois State University graduate who became an internationally known artist and her husband have donated $12 million to the ISU College of Fine Arts, the largest outright gift commitment in the institution's history. The university announced Thursday that the College and School of Art will be named the Woon-Suk Kim College of Fine Arts and the Woon-Suk Kim College School of Art in recognition of the gift by Woon-Suk Kim and her husband, Thomas Clement. Kim said she wants the gift to be a celebration of America as a land of opportunity. Both Kim and Clement were born in Korea. At Thursday's ceremony, Kim said, "I hope the name Woon-Suk Kim College of Fine Arts represents the opportunities I had, endless possibilities allowing me to achieve higher goals than I ever dreamed." She thanked ISU for being part of my dream and expressed hope that the money will enable the college to have the money to dream big for new programs and ideas to pursue. With this $12 million gift, Woon-Suk and Thomas are providing for current students and investing in the future of Illinois State, said President Larry Dietz. "We are proud to call Woon-Suk an alumni and grateful for the ways she and Thomas are lifting up Illinois State through their generosity." Ms. Kim was born in 1953 in Korea and came to the United States in 1972 to study fine arts at ISU. She earned a bachelor's and master's degrees from ISU. She was awarded an honorary doctorate of arts during Founders Day earlier this year. At Founders Day, she described ISU as an embracing, nurturing place for me to be, and said the scholarship she received from ISU gave her a sense of confidence to pursue her love of art. She was named Artist of the Year by the United Nations in 1995. Her work is in public collections that include Museum of Modern Art, New York City, National Museum of Women in the Arts in Washington, D.C., and the Vatican Collection in Vatican City. Among cities where she has had exhibitions are Chicago, New York, San Francisco, and Hamburg, Germany. The article moves on to page A2 and tells us that her art has also been shown in Paris, Seoul, Bologna, and Tokyo. Her husband is a medical device innovator and who was adopted from a Korean orphanage after the Korean War. Kim and Clement have been longtime supporters of ISU. She supported the university through scholarships, lectures, exhibitions, and the couple established three named professorships to honor ISU professors who influenced Kim: Harold Boyd, Harold Greger, and Ken Holder. The university said the $12 million gift will be used for a number of initiatives, including technology updates and supplies, visiting artists and professors, student scholarships, international engagement and collaboration, theater and dance programs, lecture series, and university galleries programs. The money also will be used to provide 20 state-of-the-art graduate student studio spaces. The gift comes as ISU nears the end of its Redbirds Rising comprehensive fundraising campaign, which already passed its $150 million goal. The campaign, which continues through June 20th, has raised more than $162 million. What a fine, fine gift from Miss Kim, and what a grateful, wonderful place for this gift to go. That concludes that first article from page one. Let's slip back over and see what else is going on. Well, if you feel like you're growing older, here's a study that says the universe may be 2 billion years younger. The universe is looking younger every day, it seems. New calculations suggest the universe could be a couple of billion years younger than scientists now estimate, and even younger than suggested by two other calculations published this year. That trimmed hundreds of millions of years from the age of the cosmos. The huge swings in scientists' estimate, even this new calculation, could be off by billions of years and reflect different kinds of approaches to the tricky problem of figuring the universe's real age. We have large uncertainty for how the stars are moving in the galaxy, said Yinhai Ji of Max Planck Institute in Germany, lead author of the study in the Thursday journal Science. Scientists estimate the age of the universe by using the movement of stars to measure how fast it is expanding. If the universe is expanding faster, that means it got to its current size more quickly and therefore must be relatively younger. Now, the expansion rate is called the Hubble constant, and it's one of the most important numbers when figuring out ages of the cosmos or in cosmology. A larger Hubble constant makes for a faster moving and younger universe. Now, generally, the accepted age of the universe is 13.7 billion years. That's based on a Hubble constant of 70. Ji's team, which is out of the Max Planck Institute, Ji's team came up with a Hubble constant of 82.4, which would put the age of the universe at around 11.4 billion years. Ji used a concept called gravitational lensing, where gravity warps light and makes faraway objects look more closer. They rely on a special type of that effect called time delay lensing, using the changing brightness of distant objects to gather information for their calculation. But Ji's approach is only one of a few new ones that have led to different numbers in recent years, reopening a simmering astronomical debate of the 90s that had been sort of settled, they thought. In 2013, a team of European scientists looked at the leftover radiation from the Big Bang and pronounced the expansion rate a slower 67. While earlier this year, Nobel Prize-winning astrophysicist Adam Riess of the Space Telescope Science Institute used NASA's super telescope and came up with the number of 74. And another team earlier this year came up with 73.3. G and outside experts had big caveats for her number. She used only two gravitational lenses, which were all that were available. And so her margin of error is so large that it is possible the universe could be older than calculated, not dramatically younger. Harvard astronomer Avi Loeb, who wasn't part of the study, says it's an interesting and unique way to calculate the universe's expansion rate, but the large error margin limits its effectiveness until more information can be gathered. It's difficult to be certain of your conclusions if you use a ruler that you don't fully understand, Loeb said in an email. I think that's a good one for all of us. It's difficult to be certain of your conclusions if you use a ruler that you don't fully understand. I'll have to remember that. So, if you have questions about the universe, you're not alone. Let's go back to our last article on page one. And this is regarding the 2020 elections, and it talks about the debates from last night. Democrats spar over health care costs. An aggressive Joe Biden defended his health care plan against liberal rivals Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders in Thursday night's presidential debate, a high-stakes clash for the Democratic nomination to take on Republican Donald Trump and for the broader direction of their own party. Biden, Barack Obama's vice president, and the party's early 2020 frontrunner lashed out at Sanders and Warren and contended they haven't yet explained how they would pay for Sanders' government-backed Medicare for All health care plan. This is America, Biden interrupted as Sanders noted that Americans spend much more on health care than Canadians or other countries. He wants to update rather than replace Obamacare. And he said simply, "I'm for Barack Obama." Warren sidestepped questions about the cost of Medicare for All, while Sanders punched back at Biden. The Vermont senator said Biden bears responsibility for millions of Americans going bankrupt under the health care system Obama implemented. The debate, more heated than the two previous, took place as the Democratic Party's leading candidates shared a debate stage for the first time. The moderate Biden stood at center stage with his leading progressive rivals, Sanders and Warren, on each side. The former vice president's remarkably steady lead in the crowd contest has been built on the idea that the former vice president is best suited to defeat Trump next year, a contention based on ideology, experience, perhaps gender. Sanders and Warren, meanwhile, have repeatedly criticized Biden's measured approach, at least indirectly, by arguing that only bold action on key issues like health care, the economy, and climate change can build the coalition needed to win in 2020. Each of the other seven candidates on stage strained for TV time and attention, with the attention of the nation beginning to increase less than 5 months before the first primaries are voted. The candidates on stage included Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, California's Senator Kamala Harris, New York businessman Andrew Yang and former Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke and former Obama administration housing chief Julian Castro. The Democrats assailed Trump repeatedly. They called him a racist and a white supremacist. Harris addressed the Republican president directly in her opening statement that, "President Trump, you have spent the last 2.5 years full-time trying to sow hate and vision and divisiveness among us. And that's why we've gotten nothing done." And while they criticized the president with no mercy, the Democrats on stage also repeatedly took aim at Biden, their own party's front runner. Castro, 44, appeared to touch on concerns about Biden's age when he accused the former vice president of forgetting a detail about his own health care plan. At 76, Biden would be the oldest president ever elected to a first term. "Are you forgetting that you said what you said 2 minutes ago?" Castro asked. "I can't believe that you said 2 minutes ago that you have to buy in, and now you're forgetting that?" He added, "I'm fulfilling the legacy of Barack Obama, and you're not." The ABC News debate was the first limited to one night after several candidates dropped out of the others, Others failed to meet the qualification standards. A handful more candidates qualified for next month's debate, which will again be divided over two nights. Besides the infighting, viewers saw the diversity of the modern Democratic Party. The debate, held on the campus of an historically black Texas Southern university, includes women, people of color, a gay man, and a striking contrast to the Republicans. It unfolded in a rapidly changing state that Democrats hope to eventually bring into their column. In Baltimore, to address GOP lawmakers at a retreat, Trump said of the debate, "I'm going to have to watch it as a rerun." He predicted the Democratic nominee would ultimately be Biden, Warren, or Sanders. And that concludes our articles on page 1 and A2, but one of the things we haven't forgotten is today's flicked fact. And the question is, if you get exactly how much sleep at night you are getting, what are average Bloomington normal residents get? Okay. If you get exactly how much sleep at night you're getting, what other average normal Bloomington normal residents get. So how much is average sleep in the area? And we move down to find out that, according to a study by the Robert Wood Johnson Research Foundation and the Harvard School of Public Health, the average Bloomington normal resident gets 7 hours and 5 minutes of sleep a night. Well, I can tell you, I think I'm way below average, but I'm not in Bloomington normal, so we'll not worry about that. But that sounds like a good plan to me. 7 hours and 5 minutes, that's the average. And let's go back and look up. Here is some important news. It is road closures that are happening. Tawanda Barnes Road will be closed from Cheney's Grove Road to Ireland Grove Road from 9 a.m. Friday to Saturday for emergency repairs to the North Fork Southern Railroad crossing. And motorists should follow the marked detour on Route 150, Hamilton Road and Hershey Road to Ireland Grove Road. And let's see, go further on down and we find in the area calendar, we talked about several things here going on here locally. First of all, if you were interested in that article about the universe, the planetarium has shows Fridays and Saturdays through November 23rd. Illinois State University Planetarium in Normal at 2 p.m. Saturdays, It's called Distant Worlds, Alien Life, and there's a question mark behind that, at 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Now, the sun, our living star, has noted that that's what's on right now. No shows on September 20th or the 21st, and also 25th of October and 26th of October. So if you're interested, that is the sun, our living star, is currently at the planetarium, but they've had a couple of dates that have been cut. If you're a garage sale, here we go. Cessna Park's townwide and area garage sale weekend is on the move. From 8 a.m. tomorrow or today and to 7 p.m. tonight, Friday, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, Cessna Park, rain or shine. There's a used book sale from 9 to 4 p.m. Friday and 9 to 3 p.m. Saturday at the Vespians Warner Public Library in Clinton. It's hosted by Friends of the V. Warner Public Library and $1 per bag all day on Saturday. If you like to move and learn, 10 o'clock Friday, Bloomington Public Library Story Room for children of all ages and their caregivers. Now, NPL, Normal Public Library, used book sale preview is today from 4:30 to 7 p.m. And Normal Public Library, $5, age 12 to adults. So that's to get in today. And on Saturday, that book sale at the Normal Public Library will continue from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and on Saturday and 1 to 4 p.m. on Sunday. The plein air event is occurring on Saturday. The Pontiac Community Air Center opens at 9:30, check-in at 10 o'clock to 2 p.m. paint or draw show, and from 2:30 to 3:30 is a show and tell. Mimosa morning. Well, that sounds like fun. It's from 10 to 1 p.m. Saturday, an Uptown Normal shopping event for ages 21 and up. Here's some fall activities from 9 to 3 Saturday. The Illinois State Horticulture Center in Normal will have crafts from 10 a.m. to noon, benefiting the Horticulture Center, and this includes it's a $5 charge, ages 13 and older, $3 for ages 3 to 12, and free for those under the age of 2 and under. There are additional fees for some activities, so you might want to consider that. Shift and Shine for veterans, motorcycle ride and car cruise. This is occurring starting at 10 o'clock Saturday at the Cheeks Bar and Grill in Bloomington at 10 a.m. to noon. Registration. And then from 12:30 in the afternoon, Kickstands Up benefits Deer Hunt for Heroes. It's $20 per motorcycle or car. So Senior Palooza Music Festival is going on this week at from 11 to 3 p.m. Saturday at the Evergreen Place Assisted Living Complex, 801 Gregory Street. This is a Normal. You'll find live music, food trucks, popcorn sales, and those popcorn sales benefit the Alzheimer's Association. Free, the event is free. Donations are accepted, and bring your own chair and lawn blanket and just have a good time. If you're a member of Zeta Eta Chapter, Delta Omicron, 2 p.m. this Saturday at Westminster Hall or Westminster Village, Bloomington at 3 p.m., they're going to have a program of the Sunshine Bell Choir. And the 33rd Illinois Volunteer Regiment Band concert is from 5 to 7 p.m. Saturday with David Davis, Manson State Historic Site, Manson Mansion Grounds in Bloomington with ice cream social. During the concert, bring lawn chairs or blankets. So, sounds like a good time for all. And look around here a minute. Well, let's take a look in time. On September 13th of 1919, authorities were looking for W.L. Hogel, a meat salesman for the Swift and Company. He's gone, and so is about $6,000 in company money. He's known as a gambler, has a girlfriend in Clinton, and may have a wife in Chicago. His trunks and suits are still in his hotel room in Clinton. I would love to know how that story ended. I'll have to think about that one for a while. So, and if you see W.L. Hogel, the law is after him. Even 100 years later here, apparently. 75 years ago, on September 13th of 1944, Captain Francis O'Marion of 912 East Oakland Avenue received a commendation for saving a burning B-2 bomber and its crew. The plane had crashed on takeoff, and Marion grabbed a fire extinguisher and put out four fires as the crew got out of the plane. And, that's one of the most amazing things. I just praise him. Wow, what a difficult situation, and he stepped up. 50 years ago today, it was 1969, and ISU workers went on the campus-wide strike. Strikers belong to the Public Employee Union, AFSCME, and included cooks, janitors, groundskeepers, and security police. The issue was wages, and this was the first strike by civil service workers at a state university in Illinois. 25 years ago, in 1994, Bloomington made a deal with the Second Presbyterian Church under which the city will abandon part of East Monroe Street, and the church will get to build on to its East Street complex to connect with the old post office that the church already owned. So that's was a nice compromise that came about that point. And I'm going to leave you with a thought from our article again on page one, which I just thought was way too cute. And that was, this is the thought from our page one article on the universe, where we talked about the expansion of the universe and the age of the universe. And one of the commenters was a professor, Avi Loeb from Harvard, and he said, "It's difficult to be certain of your conclusions if you use a ruler that you don't fully understand." And I just think that is just way too true for all of us. And so this concludes our first half of the Pantograph for Friday, September 13th. And we'll take a short break and return with the second half of the Pantograph. So please stay tuned.